listening to Out of the Box with Rosie Tran. Out of the Box is sponsored by HugMeTees.com. Spread love, give a hug, HugMeTees.com. Guys, we are now on SoundCloud. Go on OutOfTheBoxPodcast.com and follow all of our links. We have SoundCloud, we have Stitcher, we have iTunes, we're on everything. So go on and leave a positive comment. I am very sad because our positive comments have plateaued off and now we're not getting any. We haven't gotten any in a little while, so that makes me sad. But I have been getting positive emails, which are awesome, except for they don't do anything. So go on iTunes.com, Out of the Box Podcast, and leave it there as a comment. And that actually helps us to get pushed up higher in the rankings and more people can find us and like us and listen to us. So that helps me out more than a positive email. I am excited today to have a very funny comedian. He was the 2012 winner of the Shorty Awards for Comedian and also has a new album out on Amazon called Hater. Matt Walker, woo!
Hello, Rosie.
How are you? You can talk now.
I'm good. I can talk now. It's a very NPR intro.
It was.
It sounds very NPR.
I was like, don't that's cool. Talk.
I will leave you a positive comment, Rosie.
Oh my gosh, Matt. You're so sweet.
When I get home tonight, I'm going to go on. I'm going to find you on Stitcher.
Are you going to leave a positive comment about yourself? Like, oh my God, Matt Walker was so funny.
No, I'm just going to leave a positive comment about the show.
Yay. See how nice my guests are, guys?
You asked nicely, and I was like, how can I say no?
Oh, that's so sweet. Well, after being attacked by my dog, you...
Yes.
So I'm excited because you have released your debut comedy album on Amazon. And let's talk about it. Where did you record it? Tell me all about it.
Yeah, it's actually... it's a full comedy special. The video is now on Amazon Prime. That's what I'm very excited about.
Oh, so it's a DVD too.
Yeah, it's... It's video, but I haven't released it. I mean, I can make DVDs, but I don't have it for sale on DVD because it's on Amazon Prime and some streaming services like that. But I made the decision not to get DVDs made because people
what's the point?
Don't use DVDs anymore.
It's 2014, almost 2015, yeah. Probably when this will be released. And so, what's the point, right?
Yeah. So it's on
you're
Amazon
so
Prime,
tech.
So people
you
can
deserve
watch.
Yeah, that
shorty. I'm very nerdy. Like, I was watching you mess with your audio settings, and I'm like, I kind of want to jump in and see if I can help out, but I'm going to sit back and let her do it.
It's actually very, very easy. I am probably the only person born in the year I was born that is this technologically retarded. I kind of like miss the boat by a little bit, and it's weird. Oh, there's my co-host, Mitzi, with her bark. So Mitzi, I explained to every guest, but in case you don't know, Mitzi is the co-host of the podcast, and she will bark a couple times during recording. So
it's quite all right.
That was her first comment. She does not like you trying to help me.
Apparently not.
Don't help me with technology. Okay, so
to get back to the special, I recorded at the Ice House last March. I was able to hire a film crew, and they came in, and we shot the whole thing at the Ice House, and it was great. I did all the editing myself and then released the audio last summer, and then the video just finally came out this winter. Like, the video settings, whenever you self-publish something with Amazon, like, they're very rigorous settings you need to go through for everything, so it was a little bit of a process getting really approved for quality control and all that kind of
stuff. So what does that mean? So do they have someone actually like monitoring like the ratios and everything to make sure it's like perfect for their...
It's all like the color depths and these things called codecs that you use when you're encoding video, like the way that that's all done, and there's certain bit rates that are done. Because you can have a high definition video that is, say, a 2 gigabyte file, and you can have that same exact video done with slightly different settings that's still a high definition video that is like 200 gigabytes. And to most people, you won't see that much of a difference. But what they do is they make you match like that 200 gigabyte specification. So that you have to match everything to like the highest specification possible and make sure all your stuff is
clean. They want
high
quality stuff.
They want it to be as quality as possible. Like, they don't want to have any complaints about it looked bad because the encoding was bad. If it looks bad, it's because you shot it bad. That's what they want it to be, right? So, so I mean, it's like an ultra low budget comedy special, and I'm kind of excited about it. Like, I I must have watched it, I don't know, 30 times when I was doing the editing, because I had to go.
I was going to say, because I, you know.
And I hate watching myself.
I know, that's I like such it. A comedy thing, right? Like, that's such, well, that's not true, because I heard Robert De Niro doesn't like to watch himself. Mm-hmm. I, you know, a lot of people think that comedians are narcissists, and we are kind of, mm-hmm. but we're also extremely self-deprecating.
Yeah.
And it's hard, right? Like, I have so many YouTube, first of all the YouTube videos of me online, for those of you who've seen, are horrible, mm-hmm. awful. And I actually have good footage of me, but I can't watch it. Like, I mm-hmm. can't watch it long. I know how to edit. Yeah. You know, I went to college for that. But I can't sit there long enough to edit my good footage to put it on YouTube, because it's so
it
horrific.
It annoys you to look at it, yeah.
It's so horrific, yeah. Right? Watching yourself.
Yeah, it's, I went through not too long ago, and I removed a bunch of old video I had in YouTube that, like, I hadn't watched
that's
in years.
What I
and
need
it's been
to
up
do.
There, and I was like,
it's bad, right?
I was like, oh. I was like, I don't want anybody to stumble across this, because, like, now if I have stuff that I kind of want them to see, like, I took a bunch of clips from the special and I put them up as, like, just one bit, or whatever, I would edit out one bit and put it up. You
yeah,
know?
Yeah, yeah.
And I do a bit about, like, say, the Jewish religion. I put that up for, like, Rosh Hashanah and stuff like that.
Okay.
Like, you know, so I do things that were, like, topical at the time. Like, I have a bit about the spelling bee I do. When the spelling bee was going on, I put that one up and things like that. So I would edit these things out, and I put those up, and I was like, oh, there's still, like, this five-year-old video of me at some bar in San Diego. It's, like, poorly. I'm like, I don't want people to see that. So I went back and I deleted all the old ones. And there is an old video that is not in my account that I can't get rid of. And it,
I have a couple Comedy Time videos. I have a couple Comedy Time videos up there. So for those of you who don't know, Comedy Time is a very low budget mm-hmm. comedy series that shot at the Ice House. It's, you know, it's good for what it is, but they won't, certain videos you can't get taken down.
Yeah, and it's, you know, they've been doing that for well over 10 years, I think, Comedy Time, right? Something like that. So it's like, you know, there are videos of people from a long time ago on there with bits that we hadn't honed yet, let's say. That's probably a good way to talk about it.
Well, like, Chris Rock talks about that. He said, you know, he said that comedy is the only thing that you're failing in public. Mm-hmm. Because we have to, the nature of comedy is that we have to go out and we have to practice our material to make it better. But we need an audience for that. You can't just practice it in your basement, right?
Yeah.
And so we're failing out there in public in front of people. And people say, well, that comic's not that funny, or this person sucks, or whatever. But there are bits that, you know, name any comic mm-hmm. genius, Louis C.K., whoever, have done that weren't funny at one point. Yeah, and you have to fail
to
get them funny.
When it's bad, because that's how you make it good. And that's why it's really hard to judge anybody in Los Angeles by what you see them do in Los Angeles as a comic. Because, like, you see them here, and, like, we see each other at open mics and, you know, short spots, and we're doing, you know, stuff we're trying to make good to make into A class material, and you're seeing it well before that point most of the time. I'm sure, like, you know, Jim Jefferies is around town all the time, and you can see him doing stuff which is brand new, and he's a brilliant comic. Like, his new special is awesome. And
he's working it out.
And yeah, and it's like his new stuff, like, he's working on whatever he's going to put out in a year or two. You know what I mean? So, like, you get to see that now, which is kind of cool, but also it's just,
cool for
it's
a
not
comic.
Funny yet. It's cool
it's
for
cool
us.
It's cool for a comic, for an audience like, this person sucks.
Yeah. You know, but then they'll go on the road and then they'll do, like, their A material. That's where you get to see, like, oh, they're really good.
Yeah. And then they'll pepper in the new bits here and there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So you shot at the Ice House. How long is it?
It's 46 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you produce a night there?
Yeah, I've been doing shows there with Mike Martori for a couple of years.
Show, right?
The dirtiest show on earth, we call it. Marketing. In fact, we actually got threatened. We did a couple of them at the John Lovitz Club, and then the John Lovitz Club got a cease and desist letter from Ringling Brothers saying that
is that,
like,
why they closed down?
No, that's not why they closed down. No, we are not to blame for them closing down.
No,
but they
no,
got
no,
a,
not
a cease
because
and
of you, but. But I didn't know if that was because they got a cease and desist.
No, no, no. It was nothing to do with that. And they made us change the name.
What was the cease and desist for?
Saying that, like, it was Ringling Brothers saying, like, how, like, we have a trademark on The Greatest Show on Earth and you're infringing on our trademark.
Because it was called The Greatest Show on Earth before.
Because, no, our show, we were calling it The Dirtiest Show on Earth, and they were saying that was too close. And then
that is totally different.
Yeah, totally different. Yeah, so the John Lovitz Club made us change the name. So we were going with, like, the Filthy Five for a while or something like that.
I'm like, did you shut down the John Lovitz Comedy Club?
It's not my fault. No. Rumor is they're reopening. at the Rosewood Hotel is the rumor.
That is the rumor. I've heard that rumor
as well. I don't
know
if that's going to happen or not, but that's the rumor I've heard.
I'm surprised they didn't open there to begin with. When they opened at Universal, I was like, good luck with that. I mean, not to be negative, but for anyone who has ever been to the John Lovitz Comedy Club, Universal Studios, people kind of go there to go to the rides, and it's very touristy.
They go there to go to the movies. They go to the shop and hang out. It's not a good place for comedy. Yeah,
so.
It's because there was the Bonkers Comedy Club there before.
Which failed.
Yeah. And that one was open for like 6 months and it was gone. John Lovitz made a run of 5 years, probably something like that.
He did. And I wasted a good 5 years getting in there and getting in very well with the management. And now, where's my career?
Was that the first set of management, or like the one that John Lovitz then sued for like a couple hundred grand for stealing from? Or was it the second?
Several managements. I know they went through three or four.
Yeah.
I got in with them because I got in and then the people left and then I was still kind of there. So I was a regular there and performing there regularly, you know, calling in avails and things and not having to go through the crazy hoops that you have to go through.
Yeah,
in LA.
I finally got to that point with them too, like a year ago.
It shut down.
Yeah, it's like a year ago I was at the point where, like, I could call in for spots, and they had Dee was doing a lot of the booking there and stuff, and she liked me, and I could call in for spots, and I was getting paid spots there every now and then, which
is
great.
I know, me too. For a comic, that's crazy.
Because they paid like three times as much as you get paid in the improv, because the improv is down to what, 13, 12 bucks, something like that, and they were paying 40 at Lovitz.
I know, and I don't know.
Which is really sad for listeners who are not in the world of comedy that we're excited about $40.
It's really sad, and I just actually, speaking of that, you're sitting here, and you can, in my living room, I have I'm Dying, the stand-up biography, mm-hmm. which another comedian told me to read, and that's about the comedy strike in the 70s of comics trying to get paid, mm-hmm. and it's just really sad because, you know, there's a sentence in the book where a younger comic is talking to Jay Leno or somebody. I can't remember. I'm sorry if I'm butchering this. But he says, wow, you guys used to work for free? I'm like, used to?
Yeah, we still do. Yeah. What are you talking
I'm about, like, who to? Wrote this book?
Like, I would say 99% of the times that you get on stage, at least before you're a famous person, you're doing for free. 99% of the time.
Exactly. And I went to New York when they had the New York comedy strike. Mm-hmm. A few years ago where the comics were trying to get paid as well and do a comedy union. And I remember I was at the Hawk Comedy Club and there were comics picketing outside and there was audience members and they were saying, you know, don't support this establishment. Mm-hmm. We don't get paid. And people were like, you guys don't get paid?
Yeah.
Because 99.9% of the people I've met assume that when they pay that $10, $15, $20 cover, that's going to the comics, and that is absolutely not true. It's going to the comedy club owner, mm-hmm. who then pays the staff, and the comics get the drippings at the bottom. Yes. If that.
So, I can't tell you how many gigs I've done where the pay was like, you know, a chicken dinner or, you know,
so
your pay was
always,
two drink tickets.
Always, listeners, mm-hmm. I know I've said this before and I don't want to beg and plead, but I'm being serious. Follow us on Twitter. Mm-hmm. Follow us on Instagram. Follow us on Facebook, because that helps us out a lot.
Yeah.
And also always buy merch. I have done so many shows where I leave and people are like, oh, you know, I can't afford to buy merch. I just spent, you know, $30 on dinner and $10 mm-hmm. on this and $20 on tickets. None of that money goes to us.
Yeah.
Even if you spent $100 that night, none of that money goes to us.
And I'll tell you another way. Like, let's say you are broke, right? Because there are a lot of people that are broke these days. Another way you can help out comics, if you like what they do, like Rosie was talking about earlier, go online and leave them positive comments
or follow them
on their stuff. Follow them on their social media. Leave them positive comments. Like, if they have a product that's out that's digital, leave a good review for them.
That helps,
because those positive reviews help a lot in terms of pushing their exposure. Like, as they get a lot more good reviews, they get pushed up all those search lists on the sites like Amazon and Netflix and whatever, and that really helps a lot in terms of getting eyeballs.
And you guys should know this, because I drill it into your head every episode. It's the same thing with the podcast. So any type of digital media,
yes,
any type of follows, anything helps. And a lot of people, I've had people, well, I'm not going to follow you, you know, this and that. And I've asked them, like, why? Like, oh, well, like, they don't see a point in it, right? Mm-hmm. But if you do like us, you don't have any money to spend $10 in a DVD or a CD or $20 or whatever on merch, actually following us does help.
Yeah.
Because industry people, producers, other people look at that and say,
they look
at
numbers.
This person has this amount of followers. Mm-hmm. This person, so, you know, the excuse, oh, I don't have any money, but I thought you were great. Like, yeah, it's kind of a slap in the face. I know you guys don't mean it like that, but it kind of is a slap in the face.
That's like the one thing we can do. Like, it doesn't cost you anything. Just follow me. Did you hear about the giant purge that happened on Instagram today?
I did. I've seen I've seen my Instagram. It says your followers may change. Luckily, I don't have hardly any followers on Instagram.
I've got like 400 on Instagram. I'm like, I'm not losing anybody.
They're all real people. They're all like my friends.
Yeah. Like, I know mine are all actual people. And then I read that there was an account that went from like 2.3 million down to 87.
Really? Because
they were all bots.
They were all bots.
And they just paid money to some service to get a bunch of fake followers.
Just think there's a lot of bots. I know for Twitter, I'll have a lot of
I get them that follow me automatically. Yeah.
Porn people follow me or other people that I really don't think are real people.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll just follow me because I follow other people or I follow other porn stars or I follow whatever.
Yeah.
I get a lot of porn bots and I get a lot of weird bots that I just think, I just know they're bots.
Yeah. You can tell.
You can tell.
Because like the usernames are XYZ123, whatever. Like it's all like, you're like, nobody would pick that. Nobody chooses that kind of thing. You know what I mean? Like, that's somebody's password. That's what that is. That's not a username. That's a password.
So, that's funny. So you uploaded everything online. Were you afraid you were going to get hacked by North Korea?
I was not. I don't have any Kim Jong-un jokes. The great leader, Kim Jong-un.
So what do you think about all this? Do you think that North Korea really did hack Mitzi? Is very upset about this. She doesn't like Koreans because they eat dogs.
Well, I watched Obama's press conference earlier today.
I listened to it as well, and he
said that the FBI confirmed that was the case.
He was doing a lot of stand-up, by the way.
Yeah, he was. I've never seen him have this much fun before. It was kind of interesting to see.
He was like, really? Seth Rogen and James Franco?
Because normally, he's not fun at all. Like, Obama's he doesn't seem like a fun guy ever.
Well, if you watched George W. Bush, he actually did a lot of stand-up.
Yeah, he was kind of fun, but
I think one of his speechwriters was a stand-up because and I'm not saying this to make fun of him.
Mm-hmm.
He actually, as a fellow comedian, he had joke structure in his speeches.
We look at Nixon, the way that Ben Stein got his career started, he was a speechwriter for Nixon.
There was a stand-up on George W. Bush's
staff
writing, because there were several speeches that I saw that he was doing stand-up. And I'm not saying
I don't think I've ever laughed harder than when he said, "I'm the decider." You know, that's like the funniest thing ever.
It's like I'm not saying this to talk down on George W. Bush. I honestly saw joke structures written into his speeches.
Sure. Yeah, I believe it. I bet almost all public figures of that stature have comedy writers as part of that staff because they want to make people seem human, and that's one way they can do it, with humor.
Just so you know, even though Mitzi is the co-host of Out of the Box Podcast, I have never heard her this vocal in my life, so I might
I think have Mitzi to, is a gingerphobe.
I might have to give her a bone. I do not
excessive barking
like excessive barking. Obviously, she has a voice, and she's allowed to say whatever she wants about the podcast. Since she is the official co-host, but that was a little too co-hosty.
So what were we talking about? We're talking about North Korea.
North Korea, yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, the hacking, I tend to believe that, okay, yes, they did this. Which...
You don't think this is just like a fake thing from the U.S. government so we can like put more sanctions or attack them or counter? No? You think they did it?
I believe North Korea more than I think it's a fake thing from the U.S. government. Because I think a lot of the conspiracy theories about the U.S. government, I don't think the U.S. government is staffed by smart enough people to pull off all these conspiracies people like believe they do. Like, I'm just like, really? You think they're capable of that? Like, have you been to the DMV? Like, these are the people you think can pull that stuff off. So,
actually, are you aware that many government agencies do not have email yet?
Wow. I did not know that.
They're actually more technologically retarded than me, which is bad.
Well, the thing that I would say that really to me sticks out is that Sony, huge corporation, huge technology base, they've got tons of computer engineers, and they're still sending out just regular emails with sensitive data. Like,
not encrypted?
Like, how they don't have their own intranet that's internal that they use for their internal communications is beyond me, because if you're a company that big...
Most corporations have encrypted email.
I wish that were the case.
Well, a lot of major corporations have
a lot of them do. And the one, you know, a lot of like banks and stuff like that do for sure. But I'm saying like the technology exists and Sony has the people that know about this technology. And I'm sort of astonished that in their entertainment branch that they don't have anybody that's actually doing these kinds of things. It's kind of like when the hacking happened with all the celebrities and their photos that came out. Like, you know, it's the same actions that took place in terms of like what somebody actually did. They hacked a system and they took data and they're spreading it out there now. And it's just, this is a different type of data they're spreading out there. But these celebrities are rich people. And it's like, how do they not have a technology guy who's like, hey, by the way, don't put a picture in this thing because it could come out someday. You know what I mean? Like, how do these people not have somebody telling them about the tech stuff? Because you have to realize like there are people that do that and they know how to protect these things.
Were you offended by the celebrity photo hack? Because, you know, a lot of people were offended. I don't know if I am just completely delusional.
I'm not offended by anything.
I wasn't offended by it at all. I would be offended if I were Jennifer Lawrence or whoever got hacked. Okay, this is so vain. Mm-hmm. I would only be offended if it was a bad shot of me. Like if it was,
and you
like,
delete those on the phone anyway.
And you delete those. Yeah. Like, why would you keep a bad shot? Like, if they leaked photos of me and I looked hot, I would like pretend to be slightly outraged.
Be like, oh, this is an outrage. You should not go to www.rosietran.com and see these photos.
I mean, it's like free publicity, and most of them have done sexy photo shoots anyway or whatever. I really don't think it's that offensive per se. I mean, you put a naked photo of you on the cloud, like, hello.
Yeah. The victims in that situation came out looking great because nobody thinks less of any of those women.
And everyone was Googling the crowd. It was like PR crazy.
And the thing that I find a little weird is that all these websites were, you know, like Jezebel and Gawker and all the, you know, all the gossip blogs and stuff. They were like, this is an outrage. We will not even talk about these other than to condemn them, blah, 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 right? They said all that.
Yeah.
And now the Sony data comes out. Also a hacking situation involving real victims. There are people who have their personal information. They could be subject to identity theft, all kinds of stuff from this hacking situation. And these very same websites that were condemning hacking and releasing information are now freely sharing all this information that came out and not seeing that as being hypocritical in the slightest. And that, to me, I'm just like, it's data that was not yours, and you're sharing it. So how is that any different to me? I don't care whether it's a photo or it's somebody's private emails from the internal company. I mean, it's the same thing you're doing.
So, first of all, I am a pretty diehard feminist, but I wasn't offended the way, I mean, some of these websites, they go too far. They're saying, you know, it was almost like sexual harassment.
I heard people saying that it was like, I forget the exact term, but they had some kind of rape they were calling it.
They
were being thought raped.
They were being too...
That's the term they use. They said they were being thought raped by men who were masturbating to these photos.
They were being too dramatic about it and too... And you guys know, you've heard some of my past episodes, you listeners know, I'm a pretty diehard feminist, but as someone who has actually been sexually assaulted, I'm offended that people... looking at your picture is considered the only time I would view hacking of nude photos or anything like that as a sexual assault is in the case of child pornography, where people are having photos taken against their will, their children, this and that.
Yeah.
But if you're a grown woman and you're taking nude selfies or whatever and hacks, I'm sorry, maybe I'm an extremist or whatever, I don't consider it that like much of a violation.
Rosie, don't apologize for being rational.
And as someone who, again, I have been sexually assaulted and I'm a feminist, I'm like, I don't consider someone looking at a photo of you. You're not physically being harmed by someone that you don't know looking at a photo of you that you don't know about.
Here's the thing. If, let's say these photos had been hacked and they were being shared just on 4chan and 8chan and all these, you know, whatever chan sites, right? And they're just being shared there and it never came out to the public. These people, the same action was happening. They had no idea it was happening. It doesn't affect them.
Yeah. And I mean,
once it became public, I get that. Okay. They say, hey, it's making me look bad. I get that if they say, hey, I object to the fact that I look bad. But the fact that somebody's looking at it and doing whatever they're doing in their bathroom afterwards, doesn't change that in any way.
It doesn't, because there are pictures of Jennifer Lawrence in a bikini that guys would jerk off to.
Mm-hmm.
And those are freely available online. And there, you know.
Yeah, I mean, Kate Upton.
Can I?
You've basically seen Kate Upton naked for a couple of years now, and then like, oh, all of a sudden, there's like a tiny bit more of Kate Upton you get to see. I mean, I remember when I was in college, the big thing that was happening was they were photoshopping celebrity heads onto nude bodies.
That's what, one of the girls said. Oh, it was a
and they're
Photoshop,
like, oh, it's a fake head on my body. And I was like, nobody does that anymore because we. That's back when porn was hard to get on the internet. That's how long I've been on the internet. Like, I remember when porn was hard to get. It was.
I remember the box of sticky magazines under my high school boyfriend's bed. like, why is this sticky? What is this? So please don't be offended by stuff like that, people. That's just silly. That's silliness. If you're taking naked selfies, know that even if your phone is private, you don't put it on the cloud. Someone's going to find it
if
somewhere.
The thing to take
don't
away
take
from,
naked selfies or delete them right away.
The thing to take from all this hacking stuff is whatever. If you do anything using a device that uses electricity, if somebody wants it bad enough, they can get it. So keep that in your mind. So like if. It's the whole thing with, like, you know, anonymity on the internet. I know a lot of people are very concerned about their anonymity, and there's a lot of...
First of all, okay, let me go off on a tangent about this, Matt. For those of you who are going crazy with the anonymous shit online, no one gives an F about you, okay? Yeah. People care about your social security and your credit card information. Mm-hmm. Stop making your freaking Facebook 7 layers of private.
Yes.
Okay, if you're... Let me explain to you something. I'm going to go off because I have not had a chance to go off on this tangent, and it really bugs me, and you brought it up, Matt.
Yes.
If your name is Jennifer Smith... or John Taylor, or something super simple, do not make your Facebook page super private so no one can find you, and don't make the picture of a kitty cat.
Yeah.
Nobody can find you. Yeah. Nobody. Okay, if your name is Greg Constantinopoulos or something really long and weird, that's fine. Mm-hmm. Right? If you're the only Greg Constantinopoulos or whatever. But if your name is Matt Walker, you want to be Matt Walker comedian. You want to be able to be found. And, well, I don't want people to know what I'm doing. What? What are you doing? Are you in the CIA? Are you in the FBI? I am your high school buddy. I'm trying to add you so we can keep in touch.
Yeah.
I can't find you when you have 9,000 layers of privacy on Facebook. Nobody cares about you. I'm not trying to be mean. Nobody fucking cares about you.
It's the thing that...
Stop being an egomaniac.
People have this sense that they need to protect everything. Like, I
need to be private. Why? No one can
find
you.
I've never cared about being myself on the internet. I know that there are some people... Okay, I get it if you... are applying for jobs and things like that, and you say, hey, I want to keep a wall between my real life and my internet life.
But you
life.
Can't have a name like Jennifer Smith with a picture of a freaking kitty cat, no qualifying information at all. Nobody, it's like, how are people, Facebook and social media are used for people to keep in touch. How the hell am I supposed to find you when you have 9,000 layers of privacy? Nobody cares about you that much.
And also, the thing is, let's say you go through all these steps, and you're like, oh, I'm going to protect myself, and I'm going to do whatever. Anybody can fake anything from you. Like, I could make a Rosie Tran profile and make it look exactly like yours and make you say the worst thing in the world and then put it out there and then be like, oh, here's what Rosie Tran said. And people will believe it because I can make it look real. And it's not hard to do.
And
there are websites that are dedicated to, like, shaming people for things that have been said. And there have been many cases where people have...
They're like, I didn't say that.
Yeah, I mean, they've had things that were submitted because, like, somebody who doesn't like them submitted them to, like, these websites. They're like, I'm going to out racist. And they put these fake racist posts up and they Photoshop them and then send them to these websites. And these people have real world repercussions for them. And that's where I think people need to, like, draw a line and be like, look, the internet is the internet and the real world is the real world. Let's not try to make everything be a combination of the two. Sometimes you can say things on the internet that are just on the internet and they don't really affect what you do in real life. You know, there's, like, cases where there's a woman who was flying to Africa and she made a tweet and she had 50 followers, just her friends. She made some tweet like, oh, I'm not going to get AIDS. I'm white. Ha ha ha. And then by the time she landed, this thing had been tweeted so much, she got fired from her job at a PR firm. And it's like, she made a silly joke that wasn't a good joke, but she didn't make it as a public statement. She's not Obama speaking to the country. She's some lady who works in PR at some company who just made a joke to her friends that was just nothing. It wasn't mean-spirited. She's not saying, I'm going to try to make Africans feel bad about the AIDS crisis and I'm going to make fun of AIDS patients. She didn't do any of that. It was just something that happened, and it blows up. And I think that's one of my concerns with the way the internet works today. We get these outrage brigades of people about anything where there's like, we got to pile on and
people
ruin
are
the life of people.
Offended. And I don't like this. First of all, as a comedian, obviously, I don't like when people are constantly offended. But, you know, as you guys know from some of my past episodes, I always advocate working on yourself first. Mm-hmm. If you're constantly getting offended and you're constantly, this is a fear-based thinking, you're constantly offended, angry, pissed off, we need to relax, okay?
Yeah.
No, as if it's a serious issue, for example, cyberbullying, and someone's really depressed and they're actually causing some type of mental anguish, mm-hmm. where someone wants to commit suicide or something, okay, I can see that. I can see that. But if someone is making some offhanded, you know, comment, I think Gilbert Godfrey made a joke and then he was fired from the Aflac campaign.
He tweeted a bunch of jokes after the tsunami. Some of which were pretty funny. and then he lost his Aflac job. And in that case, I kind of get it because Aflac's biggest market is Japan. So, I mean, you know, with them, it was like they were getting a lot of pressure from their Japanese salespeople. Like, they don't want to deal with it.
I just don't like the constant, because it's fake. Okay, it's fake. Yeah. When celebrities tweet out or people tweet out these things and then they have to issue apologies and they have to do this. The apologies are always fake. Obviously, they wouldn't have been sorry if they weren't caught for saying it.
Yes.
And second of all, you know, I understand the idea that everyone, if you're a celebrity and you're online, you're a role model. I get it. Mm-hmm. But we also need to teach our children healthy boundaries and what is, you can't go around getting offended by everything and suing everyone and mm-hmm. doing everything. It's just crazy. You can't constantly blame everyone else outside of yourself for issues that you have.
Yes. There seems to be a rush to judgment these days with people. Like, it's because I'm whatever I identify as, and that's why this bad thing is happening to me. And sometimes it's just, sure, you happen to be whatever this thing is you identify as, and also something else happened that's either coincidence or something you might have done to cause this thing to happen to you.
Well,
and it's not always people are piling on because you're Asian or piling on because you're a white guy or because you're a black woman or because you're trans or whatever. It's not always that. Sometimes you just happen to be this thing and this other thing happened. It's not always related.
And also sometimes you need to stop blaming other things like, oh, it's because I'm Asian. No, maybe you're an asshole.
Yeah.
And people just don't like you. And you need to take responsibility and change your horrible personality instead of blaming your race or gender, ethnicity or whatever.
Yeah.
And, you know, I talked about this on a past episode. You guys know I used to get really offended. You know, I was doing this show and like every single comic on lineup had an Asian girl being a prostitute joke.
Mm-hmm.
And I was totally offended. And, you know, I was like, okay, this is a sign from God that I either need to get a sense of humor about this, get over it, or something. Mm-hmm. Because literally every yeah. single comic on the lineup had a joke about Asian women being whores. So instead of fighting it and getting offended and getting pissed off, I embraced it.
Yeah.
I actually was last in the lineup. I was headlining. And I made fun of...
Just make fun of them I made doing fun a of them. Hacky joke.
I was like, wow, I guess, you know, I made fun of how unoriginal everyone mm-hmm. was because every single comic
yeah.
basically did the same joke. And the crowd... like went crazy.
They're gonna love that.
And they love
release
it because
they're all thinking it too.
They're all thinking it
they're
too.
They're gonna notice
yeah.
it. Yeah.
And so instead of getting offended, and now anytime I hear another comic making some hacky Asian joke, instead of getting offended, I'm like, oh, awesome, I can make fun of them.
Yeah, exactly. It's you can sort of that's one thing that you see a lot on the internet of people like, oh, I gotta put a trigger warning on this, whatever. You know, the world doesn't come with trigger warnings. If there is something like I read about a case the other day about some students at a law school that wanted to get out of a class because they were teaching laws about rape and that it was triggering them because, you know, and these people weren't even necessarily victims of sexual assault. Like, they were just saying, like, it's disturbing to hear about this.
Yeah,
it's
but
like,
don't well, you want to hear the laws that are going to protect people?
It's like, those are the laws. Like, if you want to become a lawyer and you want to do something about this problem as part of your time in the law, then you need to know about what the laws say and how you can interact with them and what the cases are and how that works. And it's... people are trying to protect themselves from being uncomfortable. And I don't think protecting yourself from being uncomfortable is a good way to go about living your life. I think,
and it's not a good way to deal with being
uncomfortable. I think making yourself uncomfortable more is the way to deal with that. If something bothers you a little bit, maybe make yourself go out and interact with that and figure out exactly why it is that bothers you.
And deal with it and get over it.
Internal issue, or find some way to deal with it like you did where you're like, you know what, this bothers me, but I have a way to deal with this and actually flip it back around. And you found a great way to do that. And I think you can deal with a lot of things in life where I think discomfort is not bad. Like I had an old boss who used to have this saying where he said, like, if you say, oh, I'm feeling stressed, he's like, you know, stress is good. Distress is bad. He's like, if you're stressed, that means you're working hard and there's a lot of stuff going on and you've got a little bit of pressure on you. It's forcing you to do the right thing. But if you're distressed, then like, let me know. But he's like,
you're spaced
out.
You're checked out. That's not a good sign. You're not dealing with reality.
Yeah. But if you're just, you know, you're coping with it,
that's normal.
nobody listening to this podcast right now is the worst off person in the world. You know what I mean? There are literally at least 3 billion people on the planet that have it way worse than anybody listening to this podcast. At least 3 billion, probably more like 5 billion, that have things a hell of a lot worse than any of us. So, sure, there are things that we need to change in our society and things that are bad, but, you know, let's not
dwell on it too
much. Let's not forget about the fact that, you know, we're doing okay. You know, no matter how, you know, I live in a dumpy apartment I've lived in for 12, 13 years or whatever it is, you know, like, you know, I have my own problems, but, you know, I can't complain too bad because there are people that have a hell of a lot worse that need the help more than I do.
That's so true. Very, very positive note. And it's so true. And
I had people complaining about my album cover.
Because of the gay?
Yeah, because it was...
So let me explain for those of you who don't know. So Matt's album cover is him, and there was a Prop 8, right?
Yeah.
Which was a...
The Prop 8 was in California. It was a proposition that passed that basically banned gay marriage in the state of California.
Yes.
And then that went to the court system, and then it got overturned, and now we have legal gay marriage in California.
And your
after
cover...
that election, there was a big campaign after the election, which made no sense to me why they waited until after the election. If all the people that were upset about it had showed up to vote, it never would have passed in the first place. But then this one photographer started charging people $40 to take these photos that he takes where they put duct tape on their mouth and they write "no hate" on their cheek. And my album was called Hater because I talk a lot about things I hate and people call me an all night hater a lot. So I thought it was kind of a clever thing to do the duct tape on the mouth, and I put H8R on my cheek
like the
photos. And there were some people that were like really offended. They're like, how dare you co-opt this or whatever. It's a valuable symbol. Or I'm just like, it's just a picture. You know, I don't have
any... You thought it was clever and funny and people are offended.
Yeah, and it's like, it's silly. Like, well, how is seeing that photo of me going to change your life in any way? It's...
I am very offended, Matt. You've offended me.
I've ruined your life,
Rosie.
That's
it. The podcast is over. I do think that society, we do need to relax a lot. And I'm always surprised, you know, my material isn't crazy, you know, edgy or crazy the way, you know, we our friend Mike Moratori that we just talked about. He is very...
We know people who are...
He pushes the envelope.
Crazy.
And I'm not offending Mike by saying this. He knows he pushes the envelope.
Oh, he totally does. He revels in it.
And he loves it. And yet I'll have people come up to me, oh my God, you know, I can't believe some of the things you said up there. I'm like, what do you do? Like, what is going on in your life that you're offended or upset or shocked by something that I'm saying, which I really don't consider my material that over the edge, you know? So I think a lot of people really need to relax, take a chill pill. And if you want to improve the world, then you can start by having a sense of humor about it. And, you know, Joan Rivers in her documentary, she was doing a joke about special needs kids. Mm-hmm. And this guy goes, how dare you? You know, I have a special needs kids. And he said, and she handles it great. She says, she goes, what do you mean? You know, I'm making fun of it so we can laugh and heal.
And it's I know from a fact, I've got a friend who, you know, Anthony Ramos, who's got a disease called CMT, which is sort of similar to a muscular dystrophy. So he's now in a scooter, like he doesn't walk much anymore. But I mean, I never see him happier than when people are making fun of him about that stuff. Like, because I think throughout much of his life, and I think for many people who are disabled or they have issues like that, they get put in a special box and they're like, you can't handle having people make fun of you
about this.
So we're
going to
ignore
it
and pretend it's not there. And then when you treat them the way you treat everyone else, they feel included. And I've done shows with people in wheelchairs and people with all kind of stuff in the audience, and they're never happier than when you make fun of them and you're telling jokes about them and including them in the same way that you include everyone else in the audience and treating them the same.
If you're going to make fun of black guy, if you're going to make fun of, you know,
absolutely,
a chick in the audience or whoever.
Yeah, and I think, like, I know you've said something I noticed a couple times because people get really offended. You said the word retarded, and people go crazy when you say the word retarded. And it's like,
I totally forgot. It's special. What is it? Special needs or special?
Yeah, well, it's, you know, and the thing is, that's a word that has actual meaning that means something very specific in a lot of instances. And I mean, you know, in music,
I might get a hate
in music
mail.
Class, when
I might get a hate mail, Matt. I've gotten a couple.
When I was in orchestra, because I played timpani in orchestras like for many years.
What did you play?
Timpani. I was a percussionist. Those are the big kettle drums.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. So, like, I remember, you know, there's like a musical term, retard, that is in there that means to slow down.
Okay.
And there are things like, you know, you use the word retard when, like, you're retarding growth and things. Like, it means things are slowing down. There's a specific meaning to that word that a lot of times now people are hesitant to use that word for those meanings even now. And it's like, do we really want to, like, I mean, it. Look, don't get me wrong. I'm not going to say, like, I'm drawing the line at me using the word retard. You know, it's like, because that's a stupid hill to die on. So, like, if so, I would never call somebody who is with mental issues a retard, because that's cruel and it's mean. But in other instances, I don't think that just having the word around somehow demeans them by you saying, like, oh, I feel retarded for, you know, I'm technologically retarded.
Or gay or fag. Yeah. You know, there's all these, oh, it's a hate speech, or it's a, I consider hateful speech, and that's it. If I'm coming up to a homosexual man and I'm saying, you fucking faggot, you disgusting... Yeah. That is hate speech, because I'm being hateful.
Yes.
If you're being silly and I go, oh my God, you're so gay, Matt, and I'm saying it, first of all, my brother's gay.
Yeah.
You know, and I love my brother more than anything. You know, I am not saying it in an offensive way. And I think intention is something that people don't take into account anymore. Mm-hmm. They, oh, well, that person said this or that or this. You know, when I would hang out with my comic friends, you know, they would call me, oh, you gook, you chink, whatever. It's not offensive because they're saying it in a loving way. It's the meaning behind
it. And the same things are being said about them. Absolutely. You know, it's
playful
among
ribbing.
Friends.
Playful ribbing.
Yeah. I mean, like, if you go around and you see comics and they're hanging out with each other, if you just listen to what they said and if you just overheard it, you would think, wow, these people really hate each other and they can't stop saying mean things to each other, because that's what we do. You know, like, I was driving up here, I was talking to Mike on the phone, Mike Muratori, and he said something about he had to get a shot, and they were doubling it up because they said, you know, if right now you're at a level 5, we're trying to get you to a 10. I was like, Mike, have you seen yourself in a mirror? There's no way you're ever going to be a 10. Right? So it's like, you know, we say mean things to each other because it's just funny. It's, you know, we have fun.
But I don't consider it mean because it's said from a fun, loving place.
Yeah.
And Mike actually, oh my God. So I've been with my husband for 4 years now. We've been married for 4. Mm-hmm. And the first show I took him to, I was on a show with Mike. Mm-hmm. And so guys, Google Mike Muratori. His comedy is hilarious, but very edgy.
And by the way, he's got a comedy special coming out on Amazon Prime in probably January.
Do you know what it's called?
Crowd work.
Okay. Yeah,
which is appropriate for him.
So we'll give him a little plug since we're talking about him so much on the podcast. But I told him, I said, you know, this is my new boyfriend at the time. I said, he's going to be sitting in the front row, so go easy on him. Well, Mike.
Worst mistake you could have made by pointing it out.
I actually thought Mike was going to go easy on him, but he just went all out. Oh my God, this perv. He probably has yellow fever. What is he like? And he just went crazy on him. And it was kind of like my husband's, what is it called?
Trial by fire.
Not trial by fire. What is it called where you guys are in a fraternity and they go...
Oh, the hazing?
The hazing. It was kind of like my husband's hazing into the comedy world, because my husband is like a nerdy IT guy and he's very shy. And I was like, well, welcome to dating a comic.
Yes, this is what you're in for. This is what we do.
But it's fun. And I think you're right about having to deal with your problems. And a lot of people don't deal with their problems. They don't get uncomfortable, which is how you deal with stuff.
Yeah, like me, I get, you know, I've had tons of hate mail. I have two websites. I have funnymatt.com with all my comedy stuff. And I also have mattwalkersucks.com. Where I put all
I've
the
heard you say that, but I thought you were joking.
No, it's a real thing. You can look it up on your computer. Right?
I heard you talk about it either on your website or...
I do a bit on...
I forgot where you talked
about it. Yeah, I do a bit about it and stuff. Yeah.
I thought you were joking.
It's a real thing. Like, I take mean tweets that people send me, whatever, because, like, I go online and I make fun of things that people like, and then I get angry responses, which I love when that happens, because then I get
it's
to laugh about
jarring
it.
Jarring for me. I was making fun of...
I've received... well over 20 death threats over the last 3 years on Twitter.
First of all, if people are saying death threats over tweets, they need to do some personal development.
I mean, it's like, but the thing is, they're not real. That's the thing, is like when people tweet threats on Twitter, it's not real. Like, there are people who are like, I left my house because of death. It's like, you didn't need to leave your house because nobody is showing up, because nobody really cares enough to actually do it. They're doing it to get a rise out of you, and they feel like this is the way they can do it over the internet. You know, what I do when I get death threats, I'm like, okay, I'll be at the Ice House on January 10th at 10:30. You should go there, and you can shoot me in the face there. It'll cost you $5 to get in, but then you can kill me.
But does it ever jar you? Like, when I've gotten a couple hate mails and a couple... I remember I was making fun of Beyonce, and, you know,
her fans will go crazy. There are
a lot of...
What's her fan base called?
The Queen Bees. Something with bees.
Yeah.
with bees.
Yeah, queen
the
bee.
The hive, something with bees.
Yeah.
Because she's the queen bee, so they're like
the bay hive or something.
Something weird, yeah. Right? So her, like, documentary was coming out on HBO, and I'm sorry, it looked really bad, and it looks stupid. And I typically, you go about making fun of people online. I typically don't do that as much. My stand-up is more about making fun of myself and the stuff I go online. I typically don't do that. But I mean, Matt, it looked bad.
it looked really bad.
Yeah. And it looked just like a narcissistic, it just looked horrible.
Yeah.
And so I tweeted, I didn't even say anything that haterish. I didn't even at Beyonce. I just said, OMG, that Beyonce, documentary looks really bad. I got a swell of beehivers just attacking me like you wouldn't believe. I was like, whoa, I can't have an opinion on Beyonce.
Whose fan base is the worst of all that? Demi Lovato.
Really?
Her fans are the worst humorless little...
I wasn't even making a joke about Beyonce. I was just like, wow, this looks bad. It was just a thought that came out of my mind. I didn't mean anything from it. I don't hate Beyonce. I'm actually a fan of hers. Yeah. It just looked really bad. I got
like,
so
how
many.
How dare
negative.
You say anything?
How
that's
dare
not,
you?
Like,
she's the queen bee. Blah 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 blah. I'm like, oh my god! You guys need to calm the fuck down.
There's a group on Twitter of Michael Jackson fans that go that way if you say anything about Michael Jackson. And it's like he's been dead for 5 years. Like he can take it. You know, it's.
So Demi Lovato, you're making fun of her. You were attacked.
Oh, totally. I mean, I've gotten a bunch of death threats from Demi Lovato fans.
So what did they say?
One's like. I'm going to come to your house and shoot you in the face with a gun. Like, they're very specific. Like, a lot of them are... I only count them as death threats if they say, I'm going to kill you. If there's just ones where they say, like, oh, go die, then it's hundreds. Hundreds of those. Like, those aren't death threats. Those are just people wishing that I die. That's fine. I probably wish death on about 3,000 people on the freeway on my drive over here. You know, everyone on the 5 freeway, I was like, I hope all of you people die because you don't know how to drive. You know, I wish death on people all the time when I'm driving, but... It doesn't mean anything. That's the thing. Like, you know, thoughts and words don't actually have consequences that way. I mean, there are some cases where there are some things that people can say that are wrong and they cross the line. And I get into it a lot with like teenagers and stuff on Twitter. So I have a personal line I don't cross. Where
I would be careful because some of these teenagers, you don't know their state.
Yeah, like
teenagers can be manic. There can be depression.
I never
and suicide.
Make fun of the way they look. As kids, because I think that's crossing the line. Like, yeah. I think that's a thing I don't want to do. And what I usually do is...
An ethical hater tweet.
Like, the thing that I usually wind up doing, because I'll sometimes get it back and forth with these kids when they get really mad, is I just make fun of their grammar, because they're all morons and none of them can spell. And I just make fun of their English, and it's just... It makes them... In fact, one... I made probably her head explode because she was tweeting things to me and I just kept replying back with stuff like, did you know there's 128 Ritz crackers in a box? And then it was like, did you know that there are how many saltines in a box? I just kept looking up like, do you know there's like 36 Oreos in a package? Like I just kept replying with random things.
Weird
about
stuff, right? Until
stuff
she
like
gave
that.
Up.
And then she finally gave up and it was just like getting angrier and angrier because I was hitting her with these non sequiturs. That's funny to me. It's funny to rile people up like that with
guys.
Things.
Do not tweet stuff like that at comedians. You know how
tweet
we
it
are.
At me. If you're gonna tweet at somebody, tweet it at me because I love it.
So you, I want to talk about this because you mentioned using social media a lot, and you won the Shorty Awards in 2012.
Yeah,
beating out Jim Norton. That's amazing.
We were. Co-winners that year, although Jim Norton claims that he didn't win, but I don't know.
Why does he say that?
Well, because I went to the ceremony. He was in New York at the
was he
Time
there?
Center. And no, he wasn't there. And then they gave me the award, and then they released the winners, and then the next day they came out and put out a press release, and then they listed both of us as co-winners. And he's like, and I think it's because he was on Opie and Anthony at the time. Now it's just
Opie
and
the
Jim.
Opie show.
It's the Opie show with Jim Norton, right? That's what they're billing it as.
Because
but,
Anthony also
because Anthony is a crazy person.
Well, he supposedly was it because he tweeted or
he tweeted a bunch of photos of a woman and used a lot of racially insensitive terms. I would say at the bare minimum, if not downright racist terms, and you know that's something that he's sort of been known for doing. He's an instigator, I would say.
Yeah.
And he instigated probably a little too much in this case, and he lost his job over it. But so a lot of the fans of that show, like they knew, because last minute that show all of a sudden was like, hey, let's get some people that are involved with the show awards for this thing. Like, what awards can we win? And they found out about the Shorty Awards. Like, hey, we've got a big user base. Let's have them all tweet about this stuff and then get them in there. And then what happens is So, like, the last minute, they tweeted enough to get Jim nominated in the comedian category and some other people. Because, like, it's sort of based on public nominations.
So, you were having people tweet at you with hashtag
and if you're in, like, the top six or whatever, then they go to a judging panel who actually look at the accounts of everyone and they say, hey, this person is actually the best comedian in social media. This person is actually the best.
So, who is judging you?
I know Nick Cannon was on the panel. A bunch of, like, random celebrities that, you know, like... You know, like B and C-list, C and D-list celebrities.
So they went through your tweets and read them. And
yeah, they looked at the stuff that I submitted as, like, you know, my best tweets or whatever. It's, you know, I don't remember exactly.
So you had to do a submission package.
Yeah, you had to, like, send in, like, your info or whatever. And then, so I actually went to the award ceremony, and then, like, I got the award there. And then, like, I guess the next day on the radio, they were talking about, like, this is all bullshit. Who are these people? Nobody's heard of these people. And then they came out, and they're like, oh, by the way, we had the statue for him, but since he wasn't there, but Jim Norton was the co-winner for comedy. And then, so, like, I tweeted Jim, like, hey, congratulations. I would have voted for you. Like, you're a brilliant comic. I love what you do. I was like, he didn't remember me, but I met him at the Friars Club years and years ago when he was out doing a show. And I was like, you were very nice to me when I was, like, you know, an open micer. And you were very nice to me when I, you know, told you I liked your work. You know, so congratulations. You deserve this more than I do. And he's like, you know what? You won this. It's bullshit. They gave it to you. He's like, they gave it to you. You're the winner. Don't let anybody say you're not the winner. He's like, I'm not a winner. You're the winner. That's what he told me. So
that's funny.
Yeah.
I know he had some issues with Twitter because for a long time, his Twitter avatar was him barfing on the verified because they wouldn't verify him.
Yeah.
Which actually infuriated me as a comic because I would go on my timeline and I would find random porn stars with like 200 verified. Followers verified and then yet Jim Norton isn't verified, and I know a couple other.
When I got verified, I learned a lot about how the process works. I'm very good friends with Steven Glickman, who you probably know.
I do know Steven Glickman.
Yeah, so when he was on the TV show Big Time Rush, I was, you know, doing
you open for him, right?
Yeah, we go on the road a lot of stuff. You know, we hang out a lot.
I was actually in a pilot that he shot, and I never found out what happened to it.
It's apparently gone.
Do you know what I'm talking about? We shot it at the Sizzler in, like, Calabasas or something, or Thousand
Which
Oaks.
One was it? Do you know what it was called?
Nodder was in it.
It wasn't the superhero one, was it?
I don't remember. I was supposed to be...
Because he did the one with Nodder where they were superheroes.
I think I was playing his girlfriend. I really don't remember because it was so long ago.
Yeah, because I know he did a couple things with Nodder. I mean, this is like, you know, 7-8 years ago or something.
Yeah,
right?
It was a while ago. So yeah, we shot a pilot together.
Yeah, but I don't think that's going anywhere. After
I see that. I think it's dead.
Yeah. He's actually got something I can't talk about yet, but he's got a really cool deal that he just that he got. I'll tell you off.
We're getting ADD. Okay, yeah. So
but anyways,
you were opening for him.
I got contacted by another guy on Twitter who had a verified account. And he's like, hey, I can help you get. He's like, he would mess with me every now and then because he was like a young actor and he was like, you know, in touch with like all these boy bands and stuff. So he knew of Steven's show.
Okay.
And he's like, you know, some like 19-year-old actor. And he'd like send me a message every now and then, like, because we knew some of the same people, but I didn't know this guy. And he's like, hey, I know somebody at Twitter. He's like, I can help get Steven verified because he's on the show. And he's like, hey, why don't you give me your info too when I do it? And I'll just throw it in with theirs.
Wow.
And then we'll see if we can get you verified too. And I was like, okay, sure. And then you had to send over, like, your full name, like a website where you show that, like, that person has a link back to the Twitter account, and then information on, like, your management or agent or stuff like that. So I sent all of that stuff over for Steven and for me, and then we both got verified. And then I was able to go back, and I was able to get a couple of the people on his show verified as well.
So why wouldn't they verify someone like Jim Norton? I mean, now Jim Norton is verified.
Yeah. When that process happens, though, it's not like Twitter has a bunch of people that are like, oh, this guy is famous, so let's verify him. It's more like they get approached by PR agencies and people like that. So this guy I knew just happened to know somebody at Twitter that worked in that end of it. But normally what happens is, like, if you want to be verified and you're, like, pseudo famous, right? Like, you've got a bunch of followers and you do something that's somewhat noteworthy, right? You're not just Joe Smith in your garage. You're Joe Smith who plays in a crappy garage band, right? I mean, if you hire a PR agent in Los Angeles who knows what they're doing, they can get you verified. It might cost you a lot of money because they're going to have to jump through a bunch of hoops and blow you up and make you look like you're a bigger deal than you are. But they can make that happen because that's how it usually happens with Twitter. Is a PR rep will go to Twitter And they'll say, hey, I have this client. They've got this many people that follow them. They're whatever, and they should be verified. And then, boom, it happens. And what they used to do when Twitter first started, like 8 or 9 years ago, it used to be you could just send them an email being like, hey, can you verify my account? And they would just do it back then. But then all of a sudden, Twitter blew up and became a thing.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, now you've got, you know, that was when they had like 200,000 people on Twitter. You know, then all of a sudden they grew to like 10 million and they're like, we're going to have a process in place for this where we're not going to just let people email us. And now they're, you know, 500 million accounts or something.
The reason it was just so curious to me, I mean, I know Jim is verified now because I follow him and I'm a fan of his and also know him through mutual friends. And he, you know, his picture for...
Speaking of that, there's Stephen Glickman. I'll find out.
This is not a live podcast, but for somehow Stephen Glickman heard us talking about him and now he's calling.
He's calling me, but I'll talk to him later.
Just because, as a comedian, it infuriated me that, you know, he wasn't verified yet. I mean, I'm not exaggerating. There was, like, some porn girl that I somehow saw on my timeline because she was retweeted by...
Yeah.
I don't know why I know so many porn people.
Yeah. Well, I just found out. There's somebody I knew. She used to work at the Tilted Kilt.
I know where that is. There's a comedy show.
Mike Mortar used to run a comedy show at the Tilted Kilt up in Valencia Oxnard or whatever, somewhere up there.
It's a bar.
Yeah, so we went up there, and it's a bar where girls dress in like short kilts and tied off shirts. It's like Hooters, basically, right?
It's a knockoff.
It's a Scottish themed Hooters, is what it is. Yeah. So this one girl who worked there, and like she would be at the show. So like I saw her a couple times. So like, and I remember seeing her on that dating show Excused, the one Eliza used to host.
Yeah.
Right? So I saw her on there like 3 times. Every single time she would start making out with the guy like first thing. Like she made out with every guy on the show, right? It was fun to watch. I'm like, okay, so I kind of know this person, not really. And then I was on Tinder the other day and I see her picture and it's like, yes, it's me, Dava Fox, the porn star or whatever. I'm like, wait, she does porn now? Like I didn't even know. I'm like, oh, okay, there's a porn star I know. I didn't know.
I know a lot of porn stars through comedy. Ironically,
comedy attracts porn.
There's
people
a lot
for some
of
reason.
Porn stars that I know, but anyway, so I would so somehow some girl got retweeted that I was friends with another porn star that retweeted her. I'm not exaggerating when I say she had like 200 followers and she was verified. Meanwhile, I'm following Jim Norton. I'm following I like 3 or 4 other comics I can't think of who were pretty big comics and they weren't verified. I was like, okay, there's something wrong with this.
Okay, Rosie, you could just send a tweet to that porn star and ask a very simple question and find out. And that question is, who do I have to blow to get verified at Twitter? Because she knows. She knows the answer to that question.
She does know.
Yeah. Because that's, in her case, that's probably
she did not hire a PR firm.
It's probably I don't know
the
anything.
The PR firm is a hand job.
Yeah, my theory is that might be a possibility. Yeah.
Okay, unfortunately, we have to wrap up. That was a quick hour.
Yeah, that was fast.
That was very fast and very fun. How can people find you? Tell us all of your information everywhere, even your suck hate website.
Okay, if you just look for Funny Matt anywhere on the internet, Funny Matt on Twitter, Funny Matt on Facebook, Funny Matt on Instagram, Funny Matt on Vine, funnymatt.com, that's always me. So if you find Funny Matt on the internet, that is me. Funny Matt on Reddit.
There's no other Funny Matts?
I have Funny Matt on every website.
You have a monopoly.
Like, as soon as a new service launches, I sign up for an account and get Funny Matt. And then I have a Pinterest account that I don't use because, like, I heard about I signed up for Elo, like that new crappy social media thing that was going to be big. And I'm like, just so I can get Funny Matt. Like, whatever it is, I get Funny Matt if it's possible to get that. Google Plus, you can't do it because they don't let you do nicknames.
You know who's brilliant? Adam Hunter has Comedian, I think.
Oh, wow. That's pretty good.
How did he get that? I don't know. Adam Hunter, and I think Steve Hofstetter has, like, Comic or Comedian
or something else. Yeah, but...
How did you get that?
it's you know, like if you're first on these things, like you make it. So I lucked out in that way. And the reason I started with that was because when I first was going to build a website as a comic, I was like, oh, let me try to get mattwalker.com. But there are too many Matt Walkers. And the guy who had mattwalker.com
was... Isn't there a Disney star that's a Matt Walker?
Well, there's a bunch of them. There's I think there's 3 verified Matt Walkers on Twitter. Because one of them is a guy who won a bunch of medals for Britain in the Paralympics. And there's another guy who's a drummer for the Smashing Pumpkins and Filter and Morrissey named Matt Walker.
So there's several various Matt Walkers.
I follow like 67 Matt Walkers. I have a Matt Walker list on Twitter. There's like 65 something Matt Walkers. But I think there's 3 of us that are verified at least. At least 3 verified Matt Walkers. But
so
anyway, so the first Matt Walker I found was the guy at mattwalker.com was the webmaster for Vivid Video. because it was just his resume of him. And I was like, okay, well, I can't get mattwalker.com. What can I get? I'm like, let me get funnymatt.com. And that's what I decided on in 2003. So I just stuck with that. And every time something new came out, I was, if you find my old MySpace profile, it's Funny Matt. Like, everything's Funny Matt.
See, you're lucky because you have a branding then. Mine is all random.
If Facebook, it's different every single time, it's harder to find.
So on Facebook, I'm Comedian Funny, you know, Comedian Rosie Tran. On Twitter, I'm Funny Rosie because someone took Rosie Tran.
Yeah. Are there a lot of Rosie Trans out there?
There are a lot of Rosie Trans.
Whole lot of Rosie Trans?
There's a lot of Rosie Trans, but they're all like random. Nobody is in entertainment. Nobody. People, it's all random. And then there's another Rosie Tran who's a real estate agent in Canada. Mm-hmm. And I don't know this for a fact, but I think she's pissed that I have rosietran.com.
Oh, that's funny.
And then she, for a while, had and then finally got rosie/tran.com. And then mm-hmm. she's had other kind of weird battling social media with me. I'm making this up in my head. I'm not sure, but just from certain things.
Maybe she's upset.
I think she's upset.
Well, there's one thing weird about Twitter. When you get verified, they actually offered to me. They were like, hey, your username right now is Funny Matt. Do you want to have Matt Walker, like at Matt Walker? We can just take it away from the guy who had it. Like, they offer that when you get verified. They'll take it away from somebody if you want it. And I was like, no, I don't. I'm like, no, everything's Funny Matt. Like, my branding is Funny Matt. But if I wanted it, I could totally have taken it.
I would want that just because the person who has at Rosie Tran doesn't use their Twitter account, like, at all.
Yeah.
And it's just like,
it's dormant.
It's like dormant. And I'm like, no!
It's a waste. Yeah, so go to Funny Matt for anything. And then if you want to read what nice things people have to say about me, you can go to mattwalkersucks.com and read all that
now
stuff.
Now I want to go look at it. Not you to should. Be mean, but just to look.
No, totally. It's fun. And then if you want to watch my special, it's available on Amazon Prime, so you can watch it for free if you have a Prime account.
And is it Hater with the 8?
H-8-R. Hater. Okay, so just look up
Hater. It's the pun of the no hate.
Yeah, it's Hater because I'm a hater, and I hope you enjoy it. And so leave a comment.
How many times do I tell you guys leave comments? If you hate Matt, does a negative comment help you go up in the rankings?
Totally. I don't care. Just send me whatever.
Leave a comment.
If you have a good review or a bad review, leave a review. I don't care.
It doesn't matter, right?
Because if they're bad reviews, I'll put the content on mattwalkersucks.com. It's all good. This thing, I've never been bothered when people don't like me.
So if you do nothing, if you really, really hate Matt, don't do anything.
Yeah, ignore me. That's how you hate me. And don't ignore me.
And you can find him at Funny Matt across the board. And as always, when you go on outoftheboxpodcast.com, we will have all the links available. And we will put up a comedy clip or something so you guys can see how awesome and funny Matt is and see if you guys want to buy the special and support him. But what I want you to do right now is to go on our sponsor's website, hugmetees.com, and buy a Hug Me Tees. Guys, you will get so many hugs. I had on a Hug Me Tees the other day, and I got hugged several times.
Does the shirt just say Hug Me? Or what does it have?
It says, I know you want to hug me.
That's cool.
And people will go up to you, they'll squint, look at your shirt, and they'll try to read it, and they'll go, oh. And most people will hug you. So if you're a single guy and you want to get ladies, most people will hug you. Although I
don't
have,
wear it in West Hollywood.
I have been wearing it and had people read it, and I was like, do you want a hug? And a lot of people do say yes, but I have had people be like, no.
Get rejected for a hug. Yeah.
So go on hugmetees.com.
That sounds cool. I'm gonna go pick one of those up.
Yes,
I think.
And support our sponsor, support Funny Matt, and support this podcast by going to Out of the Box Podcast on iTunes and leaving a positive comment, guys. Please leave a positive comment. I love the emails. I keep telling you guys I love the emails, but they do not help me at all. And I even had a gentleman send me a lovely email telling me how great the podcast was. And I said, okay, great. Thank you so much. I really appreciate this. Please leave a positive comment instead. And I never heard back from the gentleman, and I never saw the positive comment. So guys, I am not just doing this for my own health. Please leave comments. And if you want to support the podcast, go on outoftheboxpodcast.com. We're now accepting Litecoins and Bitcoins. So if you're one of those techie guys.
Do you accept doggy coins?
We do accept doggy coins. We accept
because I have doggy coins.
All coins, all alternative currency. We have our wallet set up. Click on the donate button and it helps keep the podcast going, keeping all the equipment running, paying my tech person and other things like that, keeping the website supported. So that helps us out. And this has been Out of the Box Podcast with Rosie Tran.